Hey there, welcome to the Five by the Fire podcast. I'm your host, Armand Sheffy, a.k.a. Pastor Fury, the executive director of the Unshackled Network, a family of missionaries innovating ways to help those in the margins of Lake County and beyond experience freedom in Jesus. And in this podcast, every evening we take a look at a passage of the McShane Bible reading plan and we dive in for a handful of minutes. So grab a cup of coffee, cozy up like by the fire, and let's chat. This is Five by the Fire. And this is the final episode of my podcasting on the go series, if you want to call it that, as we are on our last day of vacation. But I had the joy today, as I hope you guys did too, of reading Exodus 38, John 17, Proverbs 14, and Philippians 1. And today, as I read John 17 and Philippians 1, I see a prophetic and a partial fulfillment weaving through the prayer of Jesus and the imploring statements of Paul. Jesus, as he gets away in prayer to the Father, speaks of many things. But the portion of prayer often called the high priestly prayer, he directs speaking specifically on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. He doesn't say, I pray for the church to come specifically. He doesn't say, I pray for those who have gone through certain steps to demonstrate obedience. Nor does he say that I pray for those who are successfully making disciples or building the kingdom. While those are all things that would glorify him, they are the fruit of the thing that he does mention. Jesus makes the delineation rather simple. Who is Jesus concerned with? In this sense, who are his sheep he prays for? It's those who believe in him through the message of the apostles. That's us, y'all. And also those who will believe because of the message he speaks through us. So that's the believers still to come. While the prayer is one of unity, oneness, it's unity in spirit, not just simple unity that the world might seek. It's that unity in spirit that we referenced back in episode 83. Jesus desires that they are with him and see his glory that the Father gave. It is not the dimness with which our eyes behold him now, but the future sense that we will be like him and see him as he is. He prays for the future of us as a family of believers to be one. Jesus speaks this desire for us to share in his glory as he prepares for the cross and its pain. And interestingly enough, Paul picks up this same thought, referring to sharing the same type of suffering as his reflections happen on his previous pain and the future state of those who will believe. Paul essentially takes the baton from Jesus' prayer, wherein Jesus began speaking that the cup be taken from him, but for the sake of the Father's will and the joy set before him, yeah, the joy of obedience to the Father and achieving of the redemption and the future of the sheep to the fold, he with obedience accepted the cup. Those that believe in him are the fulfillment of Jesus' joy. And Paul, to the church in Philippi, says that he will choose his earthly suffering and pain, as he says in Philippians 1:25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. While Jesus prayed simply for those that believed in him, Paul takes the prayer and walks it out a little bit. He fleshes out what that belief will look like with work clothes on. He says in verse 27, I want to be able to hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul lives out the call that Jesus put on his life. If you recall, at his conversion, God spoke to Ananias in Acts 9:16 and said, "For I will show him," speaking of Paul, "how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." Paul has been suffering and with a smile for the sake of the kingdom, and now he lays down that same charge for the church in Philippi and ultimately for us today. Let us pick up both prayers and charges today. Let us recognize and faithfully contend for that simple unity of the Spirit found in those who believe in Jesus, striving side by side for the faith, convinced that we must not only believe, but we must suffer for the sake of Christ. Let us get his help to make that our legacy and a sign to the watching world. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you go first. You always go first. You walked out a life led by love and embraced suffering for our sake, Lord God. I thank you that we were the joy set before you. And I pray now that as we live out our lives, that through your Spirit's power, through the unity in the Spirit, not only individually, but collectively, together as one, side by side, arms linked together, we can walk out that calling. That we can walk out a life of love and suffering for the sake of those that need to know you, for the sake of your name, for the sake of unity in the gospel. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you guys, that is another episode of Five by the Fire. Head on over there to 5bythefire.org. Let me know your thoughts. Please feel free to share any other passages that I didn't get a chance to mention from today's reading. Go ahead, subscribe where you listen to podcasts. Rate and review this in Apple, iTunes, as well as sharing it all over your social media so we can get God's word out there. And I'll see y'all back here tomorrow, recording again from my studios on 5 by the Fire. Be blessed and be a blessing.